Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, March 30th, 2020. This morning, I will talk about grief and identity. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Almighty Father, I praise you for your enduring presence and manifest glory all around. Your glory wakes me in the morning, it sustains my days, and it protects me during the night. Empty me of all despair and bitterness that deflates my life. Help me to confess my weaknesses, my brokenness, and my sin to make room for your glory, your mercy, and your love. Heal me with your presence when only your presence will do. Bind up my wounds, give me hope, and guide me in your ways, that I might see the new day that you have prepared for me. In the power of your Holy Spirit and in Jesus' precious name, amen. In Matthew 26, verse 39, we read, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. The emotional tension within ourselves is never greater than when we mourn, which requires a decision. Do we turn into our pain in self-pity, or do we turn to God in faith? Standing in the shadow of the cross at Gethsemane, Jesus turned to God when he faced this decision. The decisions we make and the pains we bear shape our identity because they are both unavoidable and costly. We do not normally choose to experience pain. Pain and grief transform us, and the only emotion that appears in the Beatitudes is grief. When we grieve, we lose something important. In writing about the Second Beatitude, evangelist Billy Graham identified 5 objects of mourning. Number 1, inadequacy. Before you can grow strong, you must recognize your own weakness. 2, repentance. Before you can ask for forgiveness, you must recognize your sin. 3, love. Our compassion for the suffering of brothers and sisters takes the form of mourning and measures our response to Christ's commandment to love God and to love our neighbor. 4, soul travail, groaning for the salvation of the lost. And finally, 5, bereavement, mourning over those who have passed away. These objects of grief also can be categorized functionally as, number 1, material loss. Number 2, relational loss. Number 3, interpsychic loss, the loss of a dream. Number 4, functional loss, including the loss of autonomy. Number 5, role loss, like retirement. And number 6, systemic loss, like the departure from your family of origin. Each loss is unique and must be grieved separately, which takes time and energy. When we neglect to take the time to grieve our losses, the grief does not magically disappear. It can come back in the form of sudden outbreaks of anxiety or depression without obvious explanation. These are known as emotional hijackings. We try to avoid grief because it reminds us of our mortality, and in doing so, frequently challenges the flawed assumptions that we prefer to live by. Loss and grief are not always ignored, as my grandfather taught me when my grandmother suffered from Alzheimer's disease. In spite of being over 100 years old, my grandfather expressed his love by caring for her at home, and he set an example of sacrificial love and faithfulness that I will never forget. St. Francis of Assisi said it best, Lord, grant that I might seek rather to comfort than to be comforted. To understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is by giving that one receives, it is by self-forgetting that one finds, it is by forgiving that one is forgiven, it is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. The griefs we bear and the choices we make strengthen our faith, define our character, and temper our relationships, working in us like the refiner's fire. Jesus teaches, Honored are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.